Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast. I'm Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where we solve challenging technology issues for growing businesses. We are the leading customer-focused, community-involved expert technology consultants. Welcome to Bridging Success, the podcast where top B2B CEOs and executives share their insights, challenges, and game-changing strategies that drive innovation and business growth. I'm your host, Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants. Each episode, we spotlight visionary leaders shaping the future, diving into critical decisions, leadership philosophies, and breakthrough moments that have propelled them to success. On this episode, I'm joined by Justin Kuiper, co-founder and CEO of the fintech platform OpenVest. Justin, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. So you've been at the forefront of some exciting developments with OpenVest. Tell us what OpenVest is and where it's at today.
Yes. So OpenVest essentially is a consumer and B2B, I guess we have both, but facing investment platform. The idea is basically, especially on the IRA and 401k side, what we noticed was that in the United States, a lot of individuals are left with their designated options at the company that they work for. So meaning sign up for our 401k or our IRA plan, and we'll give you three or four designated options that you have to pick, but we've already selected for you. And the problem is most of these options are very bad. The way they're set up, you have to pay management fees and front-loaded fees up front. And by the time you look at the 20 or 30 year or 40 year performance of these accounts, they really don't get that far. It's not enough for individuals to retire. So what we decided to do was basically work on a platform that disrupts that entire model by effectively offering what we call the equivalent of it, basically the Amazon Prime of IRA and 401ks, which is like you just provide a flat subscription fee and you're giving the rest of the upside to the users in these tailored strategies that are modeled after what the top PEs and the top hedge funds and these guys are doing in New York mostly. And you're giving that to the user on the platform. So we already have that built. We're currently operating in 11 US states. We are expanding. And then we're also working now to set up shop in India. So by the end of this year, we'll be fully live there as well. But the point is really to just tackle this problem that we've noticed, especially within the country, and give Americans a better sort of solution than currently exists.
So how do employers take advantage of the platform and make that a better option for employees?
Yeah. So the good news is any individual can sign up. So even for an existing IRA or 401k plan, all they have to do is you can download it on the App Store as long as you're in one of the 11 states. If you're not, we still have a get access soon button. So any individual can sign up, meaning just enter their name and their email and their phone number, and we'll let them know the minute we're live in their state. But for the 11 that we're currently in, any user can sign up, just register an account like you would anywhere else. Just enter your name, first name, last name, a few details here and there. And then once you're set up, you just either move the designated assets from wherever you have them, and then just watch as the growth takes off. And again, it's at a much lower cost than you would get anywhere else.
So we were chatting briefly before we went live with the podcast. You said you lived in a maybe not so small village in India to bootstrap this thing together. Tell me about that experience and how it helped shape what OpenVest is today.
Yeah. So I think I flew there to work with basically our core group, which is basically six individuals there. That meaning I have spoken to even prior to my journey there, but I was basically there on the ground with them 7 days a week working on this full time. So basically we are integrated, I should say, with they're either the third or the fourth largest US brokerage, but we've partnered with Interactive Brokers to build this. So they're about a $90 to $100 billion public market cap company, I think. They saw the vision as well. So we had to get their approval, meaning agreement in place before going. But I worked with these guys to basically build all of the tech functionality that you could think of, getting the entire back end to work seamlessly, making sure that the front end is working properly, and then managing the entire, basically all the possible tech stack that you could think of. And so that process was enlightening on two fronts. One, it was just you learn with the team I work with there, they were very motivated to work on something that would have a tremendous impact, whether that be obviously the plan was to go US first, but ultimately we do see this impacting in a lot of people's lives and especially the outcomes in their lives, which is ultimately what matters at the end of the day. Performance drives results. That's a self-perpetuating prophecy. What we've noticed is that our initial users who were initially using this on the individual account side wanted 401k and IRA options. And so we quickly built out the B2B segment of this, meaning just adding in all the US regulations that you could think of, making sure that it's ERISA compliant and different 401k and IRA plans have different rules. And so you're trying to map all those different rules and making sure that assets can be moved over seamlessly so that instead of paying the large fees at the existing account, once it's moved over, again, they're just paying a sort of a very low flat subscription cost and nothing more. So we learned a lot on that front. And then also these guys, they understand the full strategy of meaning what we have built and are continuing to grow into, which is basically providing value for the customers. So they have a long-term focus like I do, and they're just looking to build something that has tremendous impact.
So tell me how you leverage technology and automation to help bring that value to enhance the service you're providing to your clients. What's one key piece of tech that you couldn't do without for your team or for the app itself, the platform itself? Talk to me about technology.
Sure. So I can talk about a couple of points. One is obviously managing everything in the cloud infrastructure that we have. So obviously using a service like AWS, I don't think we would be allowed to create this. But beyond, so that's one element. The other one would be partnering with Google Firebase specifically, at least at the moment. But we have different tools in place. And I think the key thing is not so much which technology it is, but blending the different pieces to all make it work in one platform was one of the bigger challenges in building this. So there's the regulatory aspect of this, so making sure you're compliant within the United States for setting up different accounts for individuals and getting all the custodied licenses within each state that you're registering in, and for each state there's a sequence of processes. But beyond that, on the tech side, I think it was just the one good thing about the group that I was working with is they were very adept at building out technical solutions. Very adept. These guys have worked with former Google and Meta project managers and have worked with companies all around the world. So even though they're living in India, they understand fully what it takes to build a full working tech stack.
Talk to me about the platform a little bit. A lot of people struggle with follow through on what they know and what they should do. How does the platform and what have you implemented that helps clients make sure that they're being effective with their money and that they're sticking to their plans and are able to achieve their goals?
So the good news is that all of the options on the platform have already been pre-filtered or curated in a sense. So even if you were just twiddling your thumbs and clicking around, you couldn't possibly go wrong. So that's the good news. Meaning we're doing the work every day and taking in the disparate sort of proprietary information that we have and painting the picture. So we're constantly making adjustments on our end, the same way that any sort of technology platform on the back end would inevitably have to do, at least in some form, right? Whether it's the Google search engine constantly updating their algorithms and things of that nature, there's always something going on. We do that to make sure that the users, that even if they know nothing, they don't have the time, the expertise, the knowledge, we're still distributing that to the user. And like I said, at a much lower cost, a much better value for them. The other piece is when you look at the growth rates and what these would have generated versus your average 401k or IRA account, most people can't take money out until they're at least 59 and a half is the rule. If you're leaving this for 20 years, the dramatic difference in the small subscription you're paying and the value that you're getting it's really quite astonishing. Like it really comes into at least the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars over that period.
It's a big impact.
Yeah.
So you mentioned at the beginning that most financial advisors charge you a percentage of everything you invest with them, and you're really trying to disrupt the market with a $3 a month fee at OpenVest. If I'm
So, sorry, just to be clear, $3 a month on the individual account side. The IRA and 401k is a little more. I think it's like it's $5 if you have 10,000 or less, $10 if you're between up to 50,000, and then 20 after that. And then I think the most we'll charge you is $40 a month. But if you look
Very,
at the
very transparent,
percentage,
right?
if you look at the percentage relative to an ETF, that's still like way less, and you're getting a lot more in performance as long as you leave it in there for a certain number of years. It dramatically outperforms. It's not even
Thanks
close.
for that clarification. I'm a brand new customer. I'm on the personal platform. I'm paying Justin $3 a month. What's one promise that you'd make to me about the value that I'd see in the first 90 days? And are you able to measure that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say nine, I would say 3 to 4 months. So as long as you see it. So what I will say is that our existing users who started just a couple months back, they've already seen more than double digit, high double digit, which so somewhere between let's say 15 and 29% at the most from in this range. And so what those users have done is they've doubled down. So we've had more than 80% of our first time users who started on the platform come back and put in more money. So our existing users have fully bought into what we're doing. Now, what I will say is that on the IRA and the 401k side, it really shouldn't matter. Meaning, even if you didn't believe a word that I said, the bottom line is, even if we just mimicked the index in the absolute worst case, just take a hypothetical scenario, you're still paying less, so you're still capturing more value, right? So even in that scenario where you didn't believe any word I said, or you just somehow were still skeptical, you're still getting much more than you would get anywhere else. So I think on that front, it's more than compelling. But what I would say is, if you left your money in there a few months, at least a few months, I can guarantee you that you'll see some sort of positive benefit from it. And again, at that lower flat rate cost, which as you leave it in there over time, it should effectively replace your brokerage or your standard investment outfit by basically giving you more value. And then at the same time, we're tailoring the algorithms on our side. What I will say is that we've mapped these curated options based on what the top fund managers in the world are doing. And so again, we're pulling our proprietary information. But if you look at the 3-year returns and the 4-year and the 5-year returns, which we have on there, so meaning when you first sign on, you can see that information. Those ranged anywhere, at least on the what we call the long-term investment focused options, anywhere from 120% up to 200 or 300% on the higher end. So that's over 3 years. So those are 30 to 40% annualized basically on the long-term side. And then we have income-focused strategies as well for people who value more of that getting money up front now, even if they sacrifice higher end growth rates later. Those will still get you anywhere from 6.5 to 9.5% dividend yields with moderate appreciation. That is still 2 to 3 times more than your existing Vanguards, your Schwabs, your Fidelities, your brokerage outfits, what have you.
Is skepticism a big hurdle for y'all to overcome in transitioning new clients?
Honestly, not most of the time, no. There are some, but most of the time, because we're allowing people to come in for very small dollar amounts, it's as little as $300 to start. And that's on all accounts. So IRA, 401k, whatever individual. Most people are happy to just try it, see it work for them, and then they kick in more once they see it working. And so we know what we're doing, and we're very confident in that. That's why we offer people the low entry. So we're basically just saying, hey, just come and try it out, see it work for you. And then what we've seen is the double down effect has been much larger.
That's good. I had something pop into my head and it left me. Measuring those results, how are on the platform beside you mentioned that a lot of your users have come back and doubled the amount of money they put in. What are other
Yeah, or in some
metrics
cases,
that
but
you've
yes,
seen?
yeah.
What are some of
Sorry,
the
what was the?
key performance metrics that you've seen on the platform?
Oh, the performance metrics? Meaning, I guess just what people have seen is ultimately the returns. So, meaning, like I said, based on the options that we're giving, they've noticed the returns be much higher than what they would have gotten at the existing sort of competitors. And they like the fact that the costs are lower. So, it's a combination of both. but that's what we've seen. But in terms of the performance, like I said, what they see are what these exact offerings would have gotten you in the past 3 years, the past 4 years, the past 5 years, even the past 1 year. We're showing all of that data. So when you go and click into the platform, you're seeing all of the information that you could possibly expect to see in terms of what this is generating for you.
You mentioned 11 states. I'm guessing it's that financial application process that
Correct.
slows you down from
Correct. I can
rolling it
let you
up
know.
to.
So we started in New York, California, and Florida initially, and then we've subsequently expanded to basically now we have so California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, New York, Ohio, Texas, and Utah are all the 11 states that we're currently in.
Are you relying on any technology to help you with that process of rolling it out to more states quicker? Is there anything cool that you've come across that's helping you in that initiative?
No, that is more just on a honestly, that is more just on a cost, meaning cost of operation thing, because some states charge you different amounts for operating in their states. So what we found very interesting was, for example, Texas, which is a state that has about 30 million individuals. I think it's a, might be a little more, but anyway, they charge about $75 per year. But then you have other states that are charging you sometimes $300 or $400 just to get a license in their state. And so when you add up all the costs, it's just we're at the point where we have our initial investor base, but we haven't yet taken the capital yet because we're getting much closer to an inflection point where we think that once we really hit that user growth, then we'll call it in. But we're just waiting to that point. I don't want to call in investor capital and then have to like explain a timing difference. I'd rather just wait a little bit longer. So that's the only reason is we're looking to. So we had a very successful start in the first three states in New York, California, and Florida. Now we've just expanded to eight early last week. And so we're getting that rolling. And then, so I think in the worst case, we'll probably go 10 states at a time, but we could see it where in the next 2 to 3 months we'll just be live in all 50 and go from there.
That's awesome. So what's your crystal ball, your 5-year roadmap? What's it look like for OpenVest?
Yeah. So I think right now we're just trying to optimize for ultimately for value. So giving the customer the value that they deserve. And we believe that as long as we continue to do that, we will reach a point where we're definitely focusing on the US market first. And then we're also parallel looking at expansion in India right now. So I think for the next 5 years, the goal is honestly to be the number one player in our space in those markets. And we think we can do that given the innovation and the way we're approaching this. So that would be a 5-year roadmap is obviously continue to reinvest in the business, continue to get the word out much more, market much more, but also as the business is growing, just continue to double down on what we've done so far.
So I love that we've been talking for 20 minutes or so, and you haven't mentioned AI once. So I get to bring it up.
Well,
Tell
so I haven't,
me about
yeah,
how
I
AI
haven't
is played
mentioned,
on the
well,
platform and what you're using it for today.
that's a good question. The reason I haven't brought up AI is not because we don't use elements of it, but it's not the core of our platform. Investing is actually the one space or the investment management space where if you were saying that you were using AI to drive the investment decisions and like the markets, both mostly on the public side, but even in private, like it is not that has not been a predictive tool that you can predict with any reasonable level of accuracy. So that has generated basically very predictable outperforming result. It's not the algorithm itself. And trust me, I can tell you that as somebody who just recently finished their MBA at Columbia and have had many discussions with different professors and individuals and even visitors to campus. There's not a way yet that at least somebody's figured out how to adopt the AI on the investment side. On the operational side, on the tech side, we are using AI and we do expect, but it's more in just in terms of, I guess one example would be the statistical algorithms and the proprietary data that we have. We're running measurements constantly, running through a lot of data loads there. So we do use AI on that front. The other aspects where I think we can use AI is once the user base adoption really grows and it really kicks up, like I said, reaching that inflection point that I talked about earlier, at that point, AI will become critical in the platform. But for now, we just haven't reached that stage yet, on at least on this side.
Keep it on the back end. Let it crunch the
Yeah.
numbers. back in.
Exactly.
As we wrap up, Justin, I appreciate our time. I love talking to you. What's one reflective thought, one key takeaway that you'd leave the audience with today, a piece of advice you'd love to share?
Yeah, that's a very good question. One thing I would say is if you're starting a business, basically make sure you know what you know, but make sure you also know what you don't know, meaning you just make sure you're an expert in the space, because most of the times you may have an idea for something, but unless you build a working prototype or a working product or service that somebody else is paying you for, it could be one person, but that is the proof you need to know whether you can turn something into a business or not. If you can't get somebody to pay you, then I would say it's the odds of it working are like almost zero. Go back to the drawing board and just figure out how to get that one person to pay you before moving.
I love it. So, if somebody wants to learn more about yourself or OpenFest, how do they find you? Where do they need to go?
Yeah. So we have a website. You can go to opinvest.co. And again, like I said, if you're live in one of those 10 states, you can sign up on the iOS App Store and the Google Play Store. We have the app available right now. If you're not in one of those 10 states, you can click on Get Access Soon and basically just put in I think we just ask for your name, email, phone number, and then we'll let you know the minute we're live in your state, and then we'll go from there. And that's where you can find me. I'm also on Twitter, meaning OpenVest1. And then I think we have a LinkedIn as well, OpenVest on LinkedIn. So those are the places where you can find me.
All right, Justin. Look, it was great talking to you. I really appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a good one. Thanks. Thanks, Bob.
This is Bo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bridging Success Podcast. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.bridgenetllc.com to sign up. If something in this episode connected with you, would you mind sharing it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or share it on your favorite social media platform. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media with the hashtag #BridgingSuccess and let them know about the show. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews, they go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, bridgenetllc.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Find me on Facebook at /BJakins or on Instagram at BoJakins. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.